Wolverine loves anime! Alright guys, you know you're all mad that there's a Western takes on Eastern properties, but the other way around, it happens a lot. Everyone stay tuned, we'll talk about anime based on Western properties.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Otaku Movie Anatomy.
Hello everybody! Thank you. Oh, this song is so good! We are going to definitely talk about that later on. Thank you guys for watching Otaku Movie Anatomy. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes so that we can be stuck, keep doing the show for you.
Yeah.
For y'all. Make sure you hit the thumbs up on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at Popcorn Talk. I'm your host today, Chubby Bunny Michelle, and today I'm joined by our regular host, Jonathan.
Hello, everyone. Of course, you know me, Jonathan. I am back once again, and you can find me at, of course, at KaibaCat, KaibaCat, at KaibaCat.
Look at this guy showing up for work. Crazy.
I know, really.
And we're also joined by special guest, Gregory Hignight. Hello.
Hey.
I didn't mispronounce your last name.
Thank you.
Even though I wanted to. Shit. So, Greg. So what, tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I'm a DJ and promoter here in LA, and we've been doing J-pop and sort of Japanese pop culture events for about 10 years.
So many years. Like in Weebu years, that's 5,000 years.
It is, and I'm feeling it.
Good result. Save us.
And, you know, we our focus is kind of music and fashion, but we love anime, too. So I can talk anime all night.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're going to for at least an hour of your time.
But you know what? Aesthetically, of course, in anime, like, the music and the fashion is so, like, intrinsically tied in. So, like, that's fantastic. I mean, you're perfect.
It all weaves together.
Absolutely, yes. It's all one cohesive thing.
And Greg and I go way back because he used to produce these events. Oh, God, so long ago it was, at this place called Royal Tea Cafe, which was like a Japanese-inspired giant warehouse space that couldn't support how big it was. It was just like this monstrous cafe with an art gallery, and just, we always had parties there, and it was awesome. And that was like the weeaboo dream. You're not even around for that shit.
I know, that sounds awesome. I'm like sitting here like, I totally missed out.
Yeah,
they
were like monthly events, and so Toon in Tokyo was still doing tons of work around work. The good Lord work.
That's right.
Around LA and elsewhere. Do you guys have anything coming up soon?
Yeah, we're going to be at Game Boy at Rage in West Hollywood this Friday. We're doing a K-pop night there.
Oh, cool.
What?
So when it's K-pop night, is it all K-pop, or do you like slip in some shit in English so people get confused? Or
it's mostly K-pop, but you know, we'll indulge. We'll slip in some other stuff too, just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, and Rage is a wild place, man. I mean, you're in the thick of it right there, man. It's a party.
Oh, it's great. It's such a great club. So much action there. So yeah, I mean, it's fun anyway, and I feel like we're just kind of like gravy. We're just kind of adding on to that.
So you guys are in LA and you want to go to his event, you can check out his Twitter or Instagram. That'll have some information. Or go to tunintokyo.com. Tunintokyoclub.com.
Tunintokyo.com.
Gotta add that club though. So guys, thank you for coming to this, for clicking on this show. I keep forgetting who aren't in the audience. They're just clicking on their internet computers. We are talking about anime and anime all the time, and how they did takes on Western properties. We're going to talk about some Wolverines, because there's a lot of anime Wolverine for some reason.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. If you guys want to comment to us at all, feel free to jump into the live chat, which I am kind of monitoring at the corner of my eye. Hello, Tanashi's Movie Corner, who is here almost every week now. Hello.
Hey.
Good to see you, my friend.
We've got a weekly special. Good to see you.
And sometimes it freezes and I don't see anything on the chat, and then like all of a sudden I'll see like 20 things. So sorry, I don't know, technology. All right, so let's get into this topic. Basically, normally people were kind of pissed whenever, I mean, maybe we can agree that most renditions of anime titles put into Western contexts is like Hollywood just kind of fucks it up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing that with the new Ghost in the Shell coming out. And I mean, they kind of whitewash it, Dragon Ball Z and so on. And we talk about that a lot here, you know, at the unnamed show that we don't know what we're going to name it. And it's so true. Like, it's so often that we just hate what, you know, what the U.S. or the West does to the Eastern, you know, products.
It's mostly bad, I guess. Like Avatar, Dragon Ball. But there's been some good things, like... What's a good one?
Oh, jeez. You know what? Tell you what, you guys in the chat, if you got some really good stuff
on,
that
Tinashe.
The West has taken and done well, like, there you go. Tinashe, help us.
But a lot of people don't realize that anime, like, how the big-eyed anime thing started is that actually it was a Japanese person's take on Western animation. So if y'all don't know who Osamu Tezuka is, you should get out of this chat right now. He is the father of manga, as it's so coined. He made Astro Boy and lots and lots and lots of other properties. But he was inspired in the 50s by, we have Betty Boop and Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse,
and
absolutely.
Snow White. He emulated its style of, like, the big eyes to be expressive. And then, obviously, now it's way different than Disney stuff. But it actually originally came, the Animu style came from Disney.
It's so fascinating to hear that, because so many times people, you know, get on the fact of what is anime, and then they fight that, like, oh, it's only out of Japan. But when you really think about it, the entire concept of it was based off a Western idea.
Yeah.
So really, intrinsically, the West and the East are sort of connected in anime. So, interesting.
It's connected.
I like it.
So, I mean, it's fine that sometimes Western takes on anime are, like, terrible. Tinashe mentioned Edge of Tomorrow, if that counts.
Oh, absolutely.
They renamed it. It was something different when it came out.
I think they went through a couple iterations, right?
It was called Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Yes.
And All You Need Is Kill, which is a great title.
What?
Okay. Yeah. So they renamed it three times?
Yeah.
I did not know that title. You Need Is Kill?
Yeah.
That's the winner.
That's
the winner.
A little fobby. I mean, I should be the one to talk. So thank you, Tinashe. There's one. So we're actually talking about Western takes on anime properties. Someone mentioned Rurouni Kenshin, but he thinks we're talking about live action. But
Okay, so
we will talk about some things that we liked, some things that we did not like, and some things that are just mysterious to us because we don't know why it happened. And I think you guys know what we're alluding to. So first we're going to talk about that Wolverine, though. Wolverine. Who here in this room has seen Logan?
So two out of three. I've not seen it yet.
We're going to spoil the shit out of it for Jonathan.
Yes.
We'll try. Actually, let's try.
Just go for it. Just for the audience.
Yeah,
because the audience,
the
too.
Show.
We'll be strategic.
Okay. Because I'm an avid comic book reader, and, like, in terms of all storylines within comics, like, I'm pretty caught up on everything, so I'm probably not going to be too surprised with anything.
So basically, goddamn, just real quick about Logan. So good. So good. So good. And the epitome of who Wolverine is actually, it's kind of rooted in a lot of Japanese shit, actually. So it is actually natural that there was Wolverine first, and then there's been manga adaptations and anime adaptations of the Mr. Wolverines. So I guess kind of a side-by-side. In the original Marvel Comics, Wolverine debuted in 1974, and he was sort of like a Lone Ranger, Clint Eastwood meets, like, spaghetti Western. He has kind of this lawlessness. He doesn't give a shit about anyone else, and he has his, like, code of honor. And, you know, people, that really struck a tone with people. It was really popular in that time period. But then, full circle, Chris Claremont also mentioned about Wolverine, the essence of his character is derived from a failed samurai.
That's right, yeah.
So it's, which has the same properties.
Yeah, absolutely. Wolverine, a big part of his origin story is based out of Japan, where he fell in love with Yoriko, and, you know, and that whole process happened. She became anyways.
Weapon A? Lady Deathstrike.
Yes, but Lady, thank you very much. Lady Deathstrike.
Thank you so much. We need a nerd check alarm every time that happens.
Yeah, so she becomes Lady Deathstrike after, you know, that whole process. So, yeah, I mean, and of course, you know, we've got his whole, like, you know, beef with Silver Samurai and everything that happens in Japan. Yeah, so Wolverine is very much etched in the Japanese culture.
Yeah. So he has this, to a samurai, duty is all, it's selfless service, the path to the ultimate ambition, which is, like, to serve some greater moral code, and then a death with grace. And I feel like everyone knows how Logan ends, but sorry if I just spoiled that for you. So, you know, for Americans, Wolverine/Logan is essentially the epitome of like that lone cowboy thing, but to the Japanese, it's that samurai code. So in the movies, Wolverine has so many reinventions. Thank you, Hugh Jackman, for all of your work.
Yeah. Bravo to Hugh Jackman.
You just stuck through it even when you know if you should be doing it anymore.
Yeah.
He said this was his last Wolverine movie,
That's
right?
That's what he said. Yeah, this is it. This is how he's going out. I guess literally.
What?
if you think about it, he's done, I think they counted 9 different movies, so that's quite a few as Wolverine. You know, he definitely put in his time.
Yeah.
He had a hell of a contract.
Over the course of so many years. Like, he's been doing this for so long. And, like, the crazy thing is I feel sorry for the next person who's going to play Wolverine because everyone associates Wolverine
with Hugh Jackman.
With Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, you need a tiny little. Is he Australian? What is he?
He's Australian.
He's so furry. He's a great little. He's got so many veins.
It's crazy to watch him too. From like the first time he played Wolverine to like the last couple times, he is jacked, man. Mm-hmm.
He is jacked, and there's drugs for everything.
Yeah, there is. Yes.
So like the Western version we get of him in the movies is like this snarky kind of. Like, he definitely has a moral code and stuff, but we see kind of this, like, ultimately they want to make him look cool, and, but he has, like, but he's really brutal and, like, old and just hairy and gross, and we talk veiny. We look at anime Wolverine, so if y'all didn't know, there is an anime Wolverine, and it's really, it's like 22 episodes, it's a lot.
We're getting into it.
Of Wolverines, and it is a different kind of Wolverine. Let us begin. So anime Wolverine has always been portrayed as being younger looking. I think we had a picture at some point. He's like this skinny, or he's like this, he just looks really thin and young, and he doesn't have tiny millions of hairs all over his arms and veins. Oh, those veins. I miss them. And he is, the thing they focus on in his personality is that he's a tragic samurai. He had a love that he lost, and it's more about a vengeance thing than it is about a moral code thing. Like, he's already lost everything. It's not about him protecting something that exists now. I think American Wolverine, he has that story, but it's not focused on in every single iteration, especially not in the movies.
And that's true. The Wolverine from the American version is always sort of protecting someone or something in that moment, something mm-hmm. that he loves, whether it be Jean Grey, whether it be Jubilee, whether it be obviously in the new movie, mm-hmm. the little girl herself.
Yeah, I think, oh man, that's so good.
X-13.
Every time I think about the Logan movie, I start to cry. I get like, I have to like stop and like think about my life for a second. It's so good. You guys have to go see it. So I think actually. This anime, the anime version of Wolverine, which is, like, very, like, broken samurai guy. Like, this is Logan in the movie, I feel. Because he kind of finds a new hope in, like, the little girl. But damn, man.
Well, in terms of, like, the way the Western version of Wolverine works as opposed to, like, the Eastern version, mm-hmm. I think the Japanese have taken Wolverine, especially whenever I see Wolverine, or even X-Men period within the Japanese iterations, they make everything very, like, inner monologue and really, like, in-depth and intense. Mm-hmm. Like, that sort of concept, like, when even the action is happening, they're going through, like, these internal, crisis. Totally. And I think it takes away so much from what like the magic of the Western version of X-Men is.
Mm-hmm. Wolverine is kind of a man of few words, and the anime version is a lot of pathos, and he's kind of he's this tall sort of lanky man, right? And he seems not soft, but a lot more emotional than I think mm-hmm. what we're used to. And the American, especially the film Wolverine, is he's kind of rough around the edges.
Yeah, he's fucking done.
He's really kind of a cowboy character too, which they embrace full on in Logan. Mm-hmm. They go like full Johnny Cash in Logan with his characterization like that.
I think that you're absolutely right. In the anime, the thing that annoyed me the most was like, well, here he is going to monologue about his lost love again. Jesus Christ. And it's so weird for me because that's not the Logan I know. That's not the Wolverine that we, have most recently experienced. He was, like, broken because he lost his girlfriend. And I'm like, but you know what? She's still fucking alive. You know what I mean? I was like, wait, she's still alive? Like, in the first episode, you find out that, she's still there. Like, his lost love is still just hanging around, being, like, controlled by the Yakuza. And she has no agency of her own. She has to just stand there and, like, be someone's wife. I was like, ugh, kill me.
Yeah, I mean, the American version, he's so action-based, Like, even if that, you find out his internal struggle through the actions, through everything that's happening, through, through the fights and through, like, the anger that he has through his relationship with Scott, mm-hmm. through Cyclops. You find out everything through that, and I think that really lends itself to the American version of it.
So the anime version is actually hailed as the best Marvel property that Madhouse Studios did. So Madhouse has brought us many awesome things.
For sure,
Their animation is, like, bar none, but, like, some of the choices they made in storyline are, like, really weird.
A little rough.
We, on the show previously, we covered Avengers what the fuck was it even called? I hated it so much. It was Black Widow Punisher mashup one.
Not good.
Why?
Not good.
Why?
Yeah.
So this one is like the best of them, and it still suffers from this kind of, it's too, like you said, it's like, it's just a lot of, it's really monologue-y, and it's very like emotional and like, but why did it happen? And the voice acting is like rough. Jeez. But you know, if you got some free time, you got the internet, you can find it on the web. I'm not going to tell you where, but it has been officially released here as well. It's I don't know who did the voice for it, but
I know it. Yeah, I would have to look that up. That's usually my area of expertise.
Look up the subtitle version, guys, because it's hard to swallow.
But I will say, yeah, this is not one that I necessarily suggest. Any of the takes on X-Men and Wolverine and Avengers when it comes to like the Japanese versions, I don't really suggest any of them. I don't.
Well, moving right along. So, yes, Logan is great. Go watch it. Wolverine anime, it's fine. If you're a big Wolverine fan, you're completist, go watch it. And then there's also the manga called Snicked by Tsutomu Nihei. It's about another older Wolverine. Go read it, guys. It's going to be interesting. It's a different take on Wolverine. Haven't seen it yet. I'd like to move on to Spider-Man!
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Been waiting for this.
Oh, my God. If you guys don't know about live-action Japanese Spider-Man that is not even a Spider-Man... It's Spider-Man. What is it? Spider-Man.
I'm gonna sit back and enjoy the ride here. This is gonna be fun.
So I feel like, so in the first case, we have an anime taking a Western property and expanding on the storyline, showing different perspectives of this one, a famous character. Great. In this version, we have a contract that happened between Marvel and Toei Studios in the 70s, when they're like, "You can do whatever you want with our characters. You have 3 years." Go forth and do! And Toei Studios, as you know, is famous for making Godzilla and for the tokusatsu, like, live-action Sentai stuff. So they're like, we're gonna do a superhero show! Kids are gonna love it!
Oh my gosh.
And here's how we're gonna make kids love it. We're gonna make it make no sense at all.
Yeah, here we go.
They inserted a character into an existing scenario they had in their heads, basically. Like, okay, there's gonna be robots, like Gundams, basically, bad guys from space, like a long lot, like a dead father, like all this random shit. And like, oh, okay, you know what? Shit, we gotta use a Spider-Man guy. Let's just put Spider-Man in it.
Let's take every anime concept that's already created, like every style of anime, and then let's just throw Spider-Man in the middle of it. Like,
oh, man. So if you guys haven't seen it, it's on the internet. At some point, Marvel.com had it on their official website for maybe like a year or two. They took it down, but it's still on YouTube. It's about a young motorcycle racer named Takuya Yamashiro sees a UFO falling to Earth. And it's this guy from the cat. It's the spaceship is called the Marveler. So they use the word Marvel in the fucking, like, they say it and they don't translate it. The Marvela is the spaceship. And then this guy is basically, this guy's like, I'm from the planet Spider. I'm from the planet Spider. I have powers because a lot of spiders bit me once. And, you're the only hope to save this planet, motorcycle guy, so I'm going to give you some of my blood, super safe, and then you're going to gain all the abilities of a Spider-Man, plus a cool robot called Leopard. Pardon my Leo. And that is the basis of this show. What do you guys think about Japanese Spider-Man?
I love Toei's Spider-Man. It's really whack, but it kind of makes sense, especially when you compare it to the American Spider-Man TV series of the same era. You just watch the opening credits, and because they're taking Spider-Man and sort of dropping him in a tokusatsu world with, like, really melodramatic villains, and he's, like, this cool guy. He rides a motorcycle, and he's got a giant robot.
He's kind of a dick, actually.
Yeah.
If you watch that show, like, he's really mean to his sisters, and she's like, be quiet, woman. I'm like, oh, damn. Somebody's rough. Go ahead.
But I think just in the execution, it just works better, because since it's tokusatsu does live action very well, then, like, when he's crawling on the buildings and when he's, like, doing his henshin and stuff, it's, like, way more kind of dramatic than sort of the very sort of boring, static live action Spider-Man that we had here.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It doesn't rely so heavily on emotions or plot or any of that. Some people in chat are confused. This is a live action Spider-Man that they did in Japan by Toei, and it is not an anime. It is some live action fun for the family. They inserted a lot of things, like in the show, Takuya has a little brother who, like, gets on the back of his motorcycle and rides him around to motorcycle. He goes to motorcycle competitions. What the fuck is this kid's life? everything's so bad. There's a lot of episodes. I think there's two seasons.
Two full seasons, like 60 episodes or something.
60 episodes, yeah. Dear Lord.
Crazy.
Dear Jesus Lord. Yeah.
And you know, it did something really important too, because it introduced the idea of a giant robot that the character controls, like in those Tokusatsu series. So Power Rangers, before Spider-Man, didn't have a robot. And then the third
Power Rangers. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was before that. Okay.
It wasn't. And so when they did the next season of Power Rangers, which was called Battle Fever J, they're like, oh, we need to have a giant robot because Spider-Man had one.
Oh, man.
What? Kind of important.
So
right?
Power Rangers got the concept of giant robot because of
Spider-Man.
Because of toy Spider-Man.
That is right there. That's... What is it? That is a check. That is a check.
We need a buzzer for like all the great things that anime has given us.
So you guys know we're dropping knowledge today.
Holy shit!
Dude, great, thanks, Greg. That's
so
awesome.
Not only is this amazing thing on the internet for you guys to watch, it was approved by Marvel Comics. They were like, here's our confetti mix of ideas, and Marvel's like, that's fine. Like Stan Lee gave it his stamp of approval. He praised the show for its special effects and stunt work. And especially this is a quote, the spider-like movement of the character himself.
Yay.
God, Lord, Stan Lee. This is a young Stan Lee.
What is Stan Lee really doing, though? What is Stan Lee, I mean, really, he is just like, okay, yes, to everything. Make me money.
And the robot was called Leopardon. Like, literally, L-E-O, and then the word, like, pardon. Marvel initially didn't like that addition, but then they decided to accept it because it was a gimmick they threw in to attract a younger audience. So a little boy is dreaming about being a Spider-Man. So that is the live-action Spider-Man. You guys should watch it. It's a little rough. Like, I mean, I would, like, have a couple drinks and then watch. Like, it's a little hard to watch, like,
that's
completely
fair.
Sober. But don't try to think about regular Spider-Man when you're watching it. There's literally no... Just the costume is the same. That's it. I think he has spider-web powers. He has webbing, and he can crawl up things. But that's it. He literally doesn't do anything else. He doesn't work at the Daily Planet. I mean, nothing. Okay. So another fun property that I wanted to touch on is the manga version of Sherlock.
Now, this is interesting. I'm very curious about this,
it's
actually.
It's good. It's really good. It just came out in 2000, in Japan it came out in 2014, and it just got released to English distribution, like, last year or this year, early this year. And it's good.
Well, this is good because, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, some of these things, you know, like the X-Men, Wolverine, Spider-Man, that the Japanese have done their own conceptions of, and they're pretty rough.
Yeah.
They're pretty darn rough. But this one is a solid piece.
So I wouldn't call Spider-Man rough. I would call it just like, that example is just like, we don't care about the original thing, but we like this costume. Good job. We have some licensing. In this instance, I would say it's just like, it's a very faithful adaptation of exactly what happens in the Sherlock show, written by Moffat. How do you say his name?
Moffat.
Moffat?
Mm-hmm.
That's rough. And so it takes, the first arc is about 5 chapters, and it covers A Study in Pink. I was going to say Lady in Pink, but that's not it. A Study in Pink, and it was debuted in 2012 in Young Ace magazine. And it's drawn really good. And I feel like what happened is somebody was like, hey, have you seen that? Some guy in Japan was like, hey, have you seen that show, Sherlock, with these two beautiful men kind of being a little BL-ish with each other, and there's mystery, and it's really well done, and it's on the BBC, and someone's like, no, I've never seen it. Like, just draw it, because I think girls are going to like
this. Does it have, like, kind of like a yaoi kind of, like, touch to it?
It really is so faithful to the original material, because the original material is a little bit, like, I mean, when when Watson moves in with Sherlock, he's, like, there's all these comments about, like, oh, do you need one bedroom or two? And, like, and then there's this whole conversation they have in the cafe later where they're like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? No. Boyfriend? Because I'm open to, you know, what do you know? It's fine. And then Sherlock's like, no. There's a long pause, and he's like, oh, just so you know, like, I'm married. I consider myself married to my work. And he's like, I'm not asking you out. Like, I'm not hitting on you. And it's, you know, for word, well, in Japanese, it's in the manga version. And it's really cute because it takes away all that, like, the kind of the sheen of... In the BBC version, there's a lot of like CG used to like show words
yeah,
like floating
right.
everywhere.
Yeah, that's like the Benedict Cumberbatch
yeah,
like,
just, like,
mind
really,
outside.
Yeah,
of
and
mind,
really,
yeah,
really, really impressive like camera work and as well. And but in the manga, you just get the manga, and they don't show like words floating around. They just show a lot more close-ups of Sherlock's face being like intense and then like changing, and like they made it look exactly like him. It's a little creepy. How exactly it looks
so,
like
so
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch
has his own like a manga, like basically.
Yeah,
is it like
sure
him
does.
As an anime? Yeah, is it with a manga?
Yeah,
character?
And so does oh god, what's his name? Watson.
Oh jeez, if I can remember the actor, and I love that actor
yeah.
too. He's just fantastic.
He's the original Hobbit.
Martin Freeman.
Thank
is
you.
That,
please fact
God.
Check us at any point in time. You're welcome to do so.
Just
we're
come
idiots.
Every week. Come every week.
And just be like, you idiots, that happened in 1925. But yeah, I think and it's, another weird thing is, so they drew the person who drew is called Jay, just J-A-Y is his pen name. Maybe it's a girl. I don't know. Everyone looked exactly the same except for the person who, the actor who plays the
villain,
the police chief. What's his name?
The police.
Shit. That guy. Because he's a minor character, and I feel like he might have not signed off on it, is why. Because literally everyone else looks exactly the same, like, yeah.
They can't use his likeness. It wasn't in the original, like,
yeah, contract. Even, like, Mycroft looks exactly the same. And, you know, it's like a side character. They're just like, eh. Because he almost looks, the way they drew him, he looks a little bit too much like Watson, so I got confused during some parts. I was like, wait, where is he in this thing? Oh, you white guys look the same. it's so confusing for me. So yeah, I would suggest reading that. It's out in English officially and on the internet in the non-official way. There's a second run of the manga is adapted already into the second episode, which is The Blind Banker, and then they're gonna adapt the Great Game beginning. Or no, that's should all be out, but it's not all translated. Is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So it's out. And then we have, so that's the instance where the manga is fine, and it's faithful, and it adds a layer. If you're a big Sherlock fan, definitely go read it. Jonathan's going to talk about a time when the anime adaptation was some garbage town.
Well, you know what? Like, of course this is all subjective. Like, so you guys out there, I mean, if you guys are watching, of course, I mean, you know, we want to hear your opinions on, of course, Sherlock, if you've seen it, Spider-Man, Wolverine, X-Men, all these things, you know, the Japanese versions of them, of course. But yeah, we are going to talk about something a little bit different. This is Witchblade. Yes, familiar with Witchblade. Okay, so,
wait, was there ever an English a movie version of that, or just the comics?
There was the comics version of it. Now, I believe they tried to do it. There was going to be made a TV version. No, it wasn't a TV. It was a movie version of it. If I'm trying to remember this correctly, like there was going to be a version of it, and then it didn't get made. It didn't actually happen. However, there is apparently a TV show that's been greenlit for Witchblade in January of 2017. It was greenlit. Oh. So that might actually be happening. You guys, everyone might, if it actually continues going on, see a Witchblade television series coming this year or next year.
Damn.
Yeah, and I will say that it's not the strongest story. It's sort of, when I watch Witchblade, it's sort of reminiscent to me of, like, the campy badness of Highlander.
I love that shit so much.
Yeah, like, we love Highlander, but we're like, let's be honest, we love Highlander, but it's not necessarily good. Like, Highlander, we just love it for what it is. But anyway, so it was a comic series. Of course, it became an anime. The anime rendition is very fanservice-y, incredibly fanservice-y. They changed up a few things in the anime. I actually enjoy the anime version of it quite a bit.
Me too.
Thank you. Yes. Now, it gets much... Yeah, like, maybe it's just the boy thing, but it gets so much flack. If you guys haven't seen Witchblade, I would say totally give it at least a little bit of a run. Give it a few episodes of a try. Because it's fun, it's action-y, it's gory, it's sexy. In a dark, dark way, and it's about this sort of relic, you know, gauntlet that turns this character, this police officer character, into this Witchblade character.
The witchiest blade out there.
The witchiest blade out there, and then it's her job to,
is that blade made by witches?
Essentially, yeah. Okay. But it is ridiculously sexy and violent and fun, and it hits all your fan service buttons. But at the same time, and, like, story-wise, it's not a fantastic concept. There's nothing really that's going to blow your mind about it, but it's a nice ride. So, did the Japanese do it right? I think they actually did, but I just think, ultimately, they took something that didn't have a lot of legs to go
right,
on,
yeah.
And they just did the best they could with it.
I remember being so popular in the early 2000s, that Witchblade. It was like a big deal.
Yeah. Is that big?
I mean, if you were under Western comics in those days, you would know. But I think I read that. I haven't seen Witchblade, but I did see that they changed. They gave her an adopted child show for some reason.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. So the character is a single mother, which is so different for anime. Wow. You never see that.
Yeah.
They localize it. I think that's one of the reasons it works is that, you know, the character of Sarah in the Witchblade comics is actually, she's not in it, and it's a character named Masane, if I remember her name right. And there's some sort of mystery about why she has her child and everything, but it's sort of an interesting setup, and it's, you know, Japanese settings, so they kind of make some changes that allow them to do some really good world building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's true. They sort of, like, they matrixed her in so many ways before Matrix. Like, the concept of, like, Neo, like, connecting to Trinity, you know, as opposed to, like, connecting to, like, society as a whole. Like, that's what they kind of did. You're right. They localized her. And that was actually really solid. And that was actually an improvement from the original inception of of Witchblade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I'll be damned. So, Witchblade, you can watch that probably on the internet. I like every.
Yeah, I love you starting with, like, this is for garbage. You're like, this is garbage. And we're both like, no, dude, Witchblade.
I guess, I mean, I guess it's awesome. Fine. It's fine. So
there's, I remember the action figures.
See?
That's the only thing I remember is, like, they had really.
Yeah, no, it was really big in the Western comic book was really big when it came out.
I will totally be honest. I totally missed the comic. I was all over the anime version of this.
Were you, like, busy reading Vampirella or, like, what?
No, like, that wasn't my thing. I mean,
was it Witchblade Image Comics also, I believe?
What year
I
was
it? Was it Top Cow? Before they got bought up by the other one? I actually know a lot about comics, guys. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. But the point is that you missed the boat, and we're all sad for you.
Yeah, I really did miss the boat. But you know what? I jumped on board the anime, and I was very happy I did.
Jumped aboard the anime, which, as we mentioned, 10 years in the anime is 7,000 years in any other nerd culture. So take that.
So much
take
butt
that internet.
In Witchblade. So much butt.
We have a little... We sped through that. I want to talk about one more property that is not on the paper, because I watched a lot of it in preparation for this episode, and we were like, oh, maybe we should cut over time. Supernatural the anime? Let's talk about that shit. It was good. Have you seen it?
Supernatural the anime?
Yeah. It just came. It came out like last year.
What?
And there's like two seasons of it. So it's another instance where kind of like Sherlock, where they're like, well, we already like this show. We should keep it like super, super faithful. We have to draw everyone exactly like how they appear in the live action. But it's animated, and it's done in a really gory, fun style, and I really enjoyed it. The first couple episodes just adhere to actual episodes of the live action, but towards, like, the middle of the first season, they just start, like, making up some random, like, just, like, other stuff they decided to change around. And that's really, if you're a Supernatural fan, you can, like, get more enjoyment out of the franchise by doing that, like, another story that you haven't seen before. And I think maybe the best part, though, is that you can watch the dub versions of it. And the actual actors from it dub themselves in the anime.
Really?
It is like
that's
the most meta shit. It's so meta, though. It's like, so someone drew you in this thing, and you're voice acting them. But it was actually the lip flaps for a Japanese version of you. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
actually kind of funny, yeah.
So Supernatural, the anime, pretty good on the internet. I believe it's like another 22 episode kind of thing.
Is this like a really common thing that's happening right now? Like the Japanese are like, we like that show. Let's just do that.
Like,
we like that
I
show.
I feel like Sherlock did
that
really well. And then I think it is. I think it's a new trend we're seeing where, you know, Japan obviously likes to emulate the West in a lot of different ways and has for many years. But in terms of, you know, properties and storylines, it's becoming easier for them. It's more accessible to them to... You know, they can now see it on TV and have the dubs, but like, well, we want to experience it in the way that we are used to creating our media, which is anime, manga, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think it's really awesome. I think it's cool to see iterations of a property that is, you know, make it more accessible to, you know, their culture. I'm not a big fan of fucking, like, you know, what's it called? Like, The Last Airbender and...
Oh, wait, Avatar or The Last Airbender?
So, like, Avatar, like, on the other way around, though. Like, I'm not a big fan of, like, fucking Dragon Ball Z live action. Like, what, guys? What
happened? Oh, well, that was, I mean, let's be real. That was an anomaly that was pure and total shit. Like, that was just awful.
It's very strange.
Yes, it is very strange. Even I think what Akira Toriyama talks about it in an interview with Dragon Ball Super, where he said he was so angry at the movie, he felt like he needed to do Dragon Ball Super.
Oh my god!
Well, no joke.
We
have to appreciate it then.
Yes, because it brought.
Super's not that great. I'm like, let's see out there.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying Super so far. I'm enjoying it. But I mean, it's just more Dragon Ball Z for me. So I just really love it. Outside of like GT, which is not that's not canon. That is bullshit. If anyone wants to argue that, I will argue till the day we die here. Like that, like I will fight you on that. That is not canon. It's not Akira Toriyama.
I feel like Chad always wants to talk about Dragon Ball and Yu-Gi-Oh. And we're never going to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh, guys. It's never going to happen.
Now, listen,
asking me to talk about it.
Now, everyone out there, I'm the only Yu-Gi-Oh fan here, obviously.
Your fandom is shit.
But I will say this. As much as we all love Yu-Gi-Oh, as much as I play Yu-Gi-Oh, I love Yu-Gi-Oh. I've watched every episode of almost every single, Yu-Gi-Oh GX, Yu-Gi-Oh everything. But regardless of what I'm trying to say here, is that's not really worth our time to talk about, because Yu-Gi-Oh is not actually that good.
All right. And especially because I get so mad about it.
Yeah.
So, okay,
I love it, but it's not good.
If you want to know why I hate Yu-Gi-Oh so much, one, because it doesn't make any fucking sense. too, because, you know, just there to, like, sell damn cars to kids and fucking whatever, and the store doesn't make any sense. But I used to work for Konami for a little while, and I had to do customer support assistance for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading cards. This is a long time ago. This department doesn't exist anymore. And it was some garbage people played that game, okay?
Well, that much is
some
true.
Adorable little kids true. And, like, some garbage adults yeah. play that game. And yeah. I was no, just I like, was, nope.
I was a professional Yu-Gi-Oh! Player for a while.
Oh,
you
know no!
That's amazing.
Yes, I was a professional Yu-Gi-Oh! Player. They actually called me Burner John because I ran a burn deck, a Nurse Reficule-style burn deck. I was a professional player for a number of years, actually.
Oh, we're going to have to fire you.
And I was, and I will be honest, I was really, really good. Yeah, I finished, I topped at a number of good tournaments. So thank you very much.
I'm like gonna start crying. That's Yu-Gi-Oh! This is brand new information. I'm just learning now, live on air.
I counter with Gorgon's
eye. Oh, I hate you so much now.
What was the highest purse you ever won in a tournament?
You know what? The best showing I did actually. I think my favorite was at AX. It was five, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. At AX, I finished in seventh. I was very happy with that. I was actually very happy with that.
Wow. I hate you and yeah. everything you stand for.
Yeah, I finished top 32.
Wait, what year
but
was that?
Seventh was 5-6 years ago, like
you
easily.
Old.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped playing maybe about 3-4 years ago. So.
That's right. That's yeah. when it should have died.
Yeah, exactly. No, I had kids. I was like, all right, I'm done.
It sounds like a movie script of like the washed up Yu-Gi-Oh! Player goes back to take the tournament down.
No joke. I actually carry my cards with me almost everywhere I go. They're in my car right now.
We gotta burn your car.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
Just a side note.
So moving back to, like, let's just try not to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh.
There we go.
Every episode, we don't talk about fucking Yu-Gi-Oh.
We're talking about Eastern and Western anime.
I hate you so much right now. So I guess the hypothetical question for y'all is, what properties do you think would be a good fit, that Western properties would be a good fit to be turned into an anime or a manga? Or just like a one-shot doujin? or just a drama CD.
What do you got? Any titles?
Because like all of Marvel's like not, but like a lot of like X-Men, Avengers. That's just been done.
Yeah.
We've got Spider-Man's out.
Firefly.
Oh,
that would be really good.
Snap! That
would
was
be
a
really
great
good
choice.
Oh wait, yes. Is there not a Firefly? I feel like I gotta check.
I feel like there should be a Firefly anime.
I don't know if there is.
That is so good. Now, like, and we want to hear from all of you guys out there. Like, if you guys have suggestions, Western shows that you think should be done.
Everyone's talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! Now, so just,
oh,
just
gosh,
so you know what's happening.
We opened a horrible can of worms. All right, but like, and Western shows that are Western style, anything that mm-hmm. should be done, yeah. you know, into anime form. But that was a solid 100% knock out of
yeah.
the park. Firefly,
especially because it's a property that can't really be revisited again. I mean, I keep seeing an article every couple months like, oh, well, the original cast is all on board. I'm like, y'all are on board, but no one's going to want to pay you enough now that you're all famous to do that show. Like,
yeah.
no one's backing that. That's a good one. I think sci-fi stuff does well. That'd be a good, like Cowboy Bebop, I'd say, you know, like a space western. It is.
Yeah, I mean, Cowboy Bebop and like Outlaw Star are basically the proof of concept for
yeah.
Firefly
yeah,
anime.
True.
We
yeah.
know it would work.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Man, they don't have a Doctor Who one, do they?
Mm-mm.
That would be solid.
I feel like anything the BBC does now, hopefully will become fair game after the Sherlock manga. Because the Sherlock manga did really well, but there's no anime of it, because I don't know if they're allowed to. Like, it just seems like it'd be too close to, like, the actual thing.
I would love to see something that is a little more, like, as opposed to, like, you know, sort of like action-y or space or something more like simple, like a simple story, like the Gilmore Girls. Like, I would like something like that.
Oh, like a slice of life.
Yeah, like
yeah.
a slice of life anime, like Gilmore Girls-esque. I would actually be really interested in seeing something like that, because, like, one of the titles that I love is, like, Nana. Like, mm-hmm. in, like, so something like that, a very, like, you know, something emotional, slice yeah. of life-y.
Golden
that'd
be kind
of...
Girls, the anime.
The Golden
oh my
Girls,
God.
The
Wait,
anime.
Isn't there a manga?
Yes!
Isn't there a manga of Golden Girls? I'm pretty sure. Or there's, like, someone did, like, a concept drawing, at least, where they're like manga characters, which, I mean, the internet does that, but it's that would be a good, that would be really good.
It'd be fantastic.
It'd be that almost like genius. Easier to stomach, because, like, especially properties that are old, and it's hard for our, like, young eyes to look at stuff that's filmed kind of like in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really great way to re-jumpstart a franchise, is to give it to them in a medium they understand.
Yeah, and not just that. Or... I want to see the B. Arthur character in like three different panels do her like three camera take. Like, just, like make it, crack a joke, and then one panel, second panel, third panel, boom, boom, boom.
I feel like in the Sherlock manga, they did that. Because you know when he has these, like, his, like, aha moments? They, in the manga, they literally fucking, like, he goes, like, they show, like, his face changing, and, like, he gets, like, whole, like, a half page for it. Like, we just really want to draw his face, like, over and over and over. Like, there's some stuff happening.
But yeah, I'm down, man. I'm down for the Golden Girls. Well done.
That Golden well done, Girls, Thomas. Though. Doctor Who. Any
Firefly
space
is
stuff.
The winner, though.
Yeah,
that
Firefly.
Is so good.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's like a shoo-in. Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm over here with the blankest face in the world.
That's a shoo-in.
I guess. Yeah,
that's
a shoo-in. I guess... Now that I've seen them do it with, like, Supernatural and, like, Sherlock, and, like, where they take advantage of the famous person in the property, mm-hmm. like, and it works kind of well. Like, it's cute to see someone you know and, like, you know, to see Brad Pitt as a manga character. Like, that's cute. People
and
like that shit.
And it's Disney already. I mean there's a connection there with Disney and, well,
Are you gonna watch the new movie? Because we're all going to go watch
that. No, I'm not going to watch it. I actually didn't watch the last one either.
They put YouTubers in it. My friend is like a really famous. So Leo, who does Disney Channel News, he just announced he's in the movie.
Oh my goodness!
They flew a bunch of them out to Australia and like put them in as extras, like him, like a makeup guru, like just random ass people, like just to help promote the movie.
Oh my gosh. This is what we've come to. Granted, you know, congratulations to Leo.
No, I think it's cool.
Yeah, go Leo Camacho.
That
Macho
make
Camacho.
The movie good.
We love Leo, so that's good.
Okay, in the chat we have a couple of suggestions that are not Yu-Gi-Oh! Thank you. Tanashi says Underworld. They've done anime like shorts, but the series as a whole could benefit from it.
Nice, nice.
Underworld. Walking Dead could work as well. It would be better than the current live action.
Ah, nice. Some seasons, yes.
I once did a TV fight on what's the network? It's called TV Fights.
Screen Junkies.
Yes.
It's a big name, too. It's a big name.
Shush. And I actually, my fight was about, you had to pick a property that would benefit from being completely rebooted now and just, like, throwing it away. And I was like, Walking Dead. Because it started out so well. And then they had all these things, like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. And, like, oh, they didn't explain these things. And they just never fucking get to it. Like, never mind. It's about how everyone wants to rape each other. Like,
but
that's
you
all.
Know what happened was they lost their creator. They lost their writer on that after season two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's why season two was total garbage. And they just sat on a farm for a whole season because they were like, all right, let's figure out what we're doing
here. So, yeah, I think a reboot of some form of Walking Dead would be great because, you know, I've always wondered about Walking Dead is, like, so, y'all are in Alabama. There's, like, two black people. There's one Asian person who does not make it. Where are your ethnics, one? Two, what, like, is it just the East Coast of America that's, like, zombified? Like, they never find somebody who's, like, I was on a plane and it crashed and, like, now I'm here. Like, they don't talk about, like, what the rest of the world is happening. They don't ever go into, like, what the zombie virus even is. They're just like, everyone has it. Like, we're done talking about it.
Yeah, season one they do a little bit when they find the...
Which I was kind of excited about, but then they never really get past that. And I was just like, y'all have a bigger, greater story to be telling, but you don't give a shit. Like, you just don't give a shit.
If I can suggest anything, if anyone's into The Walking Dead, read the graphic novels. They are so good, and they are just brutal.
Yeah, but the drawing style is a little rough.
It's a little rough, yes. For sure, the artistically
it's super indie. Let's see, what else do we have? Courtney says, Gilmore Girls. Yes, I agree.
Yay, Gilmore Girls.
Sylvian says, Farscape?
Oh, Farscape.
I've never watched
interesting.
That. What is
no,
that?
Yeah, Farscape. It's sci-fi. Sci-fi, okay. Yeah.
Star Wars is another one.
Well.
Oh, we talked about that yet. And now they're talking about Fruits Basket.
Right,
it's actually Fruits Basket, not Fruit Basket, if you guys didn't know.
Although if you send us Fruit Baskets, we will accept them.
No, we won't.
There's one, that's true, we won't. There's one Japanese title I wanted to bring up, and I forgot that it was taken from the Western, and it's Batman. The Gotham Knights.
Oh yeah.
Now, I want to throw this one out there to all of you guys, because we've been talking about some rough iterations of, you know, Western properties. But this one was really good. The Batman Gotham Knights Japanese version. It was done sort of like Animatrix style, where it was like six different stories of Batman, but through the eyes of different kids. So the great thing is you're allowed to elaborate and play with like the concept of what Batman is because it's through the imagination of teenagers, of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fascinating. It was actually really cool, really fun, really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's with the topic we're talking about tonight, I think it's the successful one. Like, if we were to pick one that I think really worked, it would be Gotham Knights.
Hmm.
You know, you have all these different studios collaborating, so everyone kind of does their different take. You can kind of pick and choose. Like, oh, I like this segment better than this segment. The stuff that 4C does at the beginning of it is fantastic.
That's the best one. The first one is so solid, yeah.
But just the voice acting, the writing, the music, everything is so solid. And I think... It also has a really good flow to it. I think like the Wolverine feels a little bit sort of rigid, but the Batman one just like flows like water from beginning to end.
Yeah. Really solid. Really solid.
Yeah, we've definitely... We already talked about it in the show. We had a whole episode dedicated to the Animatrix before, but that's something worth bringing up. That was great. But, yeah. I mean, at the same time, The Matrix was inspired by Japan, so it was kind of like this two-way street, which is really nice. I mean, it worked both ways. All the shorts from that were, like, so moving, like, just so good. And, yeah, the Batman one, I remember... I saw it so long ago that I can't quite... I know, like, at the beginning, it's like a bunch of kids be like, no, let me tell you my Batman story, kid.
Yeah. That's the one that's in my head right now.
Okay, I got one that's kind of weird.
Oh, what do you got? What do you got?
Kung Fu.
Wait.
Like, the actual, like,
the live-action Kung Fu show with David Carradine?
Yeah, but told maybe how Bruce Lee wanted to tell it before they stole his idea.
Wait. Oh, that would make perfect sense. That makes so much sense. Because it was supposed to be Bruce Lee originally, and of course they hired David Carradine, they whitewashed it. Wow.
What a new concept. I've never heard of whitewashing before. Yeah, dude, someone tried to get into this shit with me on the internet the other day, and I was like, aw, girl. Yeah. They're like, this is like, it's like, I know it's like difficult to like understand like why they might do this, but like it's from, and I'm like, bitch. We know what's up. We know people like money, and we know people don't give a shit about minorities. Like, that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah, I'm actually boycotting Ghost in the Shell, personally.
I'm not watching that shit. Nope. Just, everyone, just let it be known. We do not support Ghost in the Shell. I'm not watching Iron Fist either. Fuck that. No. Yeah. Sorry.
Not happening.
Fight me outside the parking lot after the show. You can find our address on the internet. I'll be there in about 5 minutes.
Something that's Japanese that I would like to see revamped is Ultimate Muscle.
Oh!
Oh yeah!
Yes, I remember Ultimate
Muscle. That
was weird.
That was a really weird anime.
Yes, it was very strange.
I remember the we got the figures here in America though, right? Without the anime,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember I had
That's
some.
How I knew about it.
They were like tiny, like easy to swallow pieces.
Yeah. They look like you could buy them out of the quarter machine.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Turn the little knob.
Turn that little knob. So we've kind of covered all the topics we can cover.
Yeah.
Next week. We will be talking about fairy tales in anime.
Fairy tales.
And do you know why?
Why? What do we
Because Beauty and the Beast comes out next week.
Oh, my God.
Yes. If you notice, we are lacking a distinct number of Asians on our show today. Yume is sick and dying.
And we're whitewashing the show.
We're whitewashing the show. We've recast. That's Yume. This is Max.
I'm the new Yume.
I will be replaced by some girl soon. Next week, we'll be talking about fairy tales in anime, maybe... I will have seen Beauty and the Beast by then. You guys can watch it if you want to.
I will have seen Logan by then, which is good. That's important.
He's so old and behind the times.
Yes, I gotta get on the board.
Yeah. So this week. So wait, we're in March. So we will be. Well, I will be at WonderCon. Will you guys be at WonderCon?
No. I will not be at WonderCon.
Of course.
You will be at WonderCon. Yeah, screw you. He's not doing any more conventions anymore these days.
Yeah, I've slowed down quite a bit, but I'll probably get back on it probably later in the year. I mean, I'll be at AX for sure, so I'll be doing that.
Okay,
one.
So if you guys want to come find us on an IRL comments, we will look at your comments at some point. And I think that's it for today.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm your host, Chubby Bunny Michelle. You can find me everywhere on the internet at I Am Chubby Bunny. And where can we find you on the internet, Mr. Gregory?
You can find all things Toon in Tokyo at ToonintokyoClub.com.
And, of course, you can find me at KaibaCat, and I will play anyone at Yu-Gi-Oh! I will bring out the deck. I will challenge you guys, all those Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans in our chat. Bring it on. Write to us. Leave comments. I will answer you. We will play. I will win.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.